This Your Q brought to you by Premier Insurance and Maren Gray on with us now for Echo Every Child. Okay, so tell us a little bit about Echo Every Child that's in Douglas County. Really, how did you get involved with it? How did it begin?
Well, Echo Every Child is actually the Miss Oregon state platform. And so when I was involved in that program, I thought that it was a great organization to get involved with myself outside of pageantry. And once I started connecting with youth in foster care and foster parents and foster workers, I realized that this really is the place for me. And this is a very, very worthy cause in the community. So I've been involved ever since and happy to be here.
So even after you became familiar with it as your platform, like you said, it's something that you've decided to stick with. What was that draw that really lit the spark?
Well, I think it's just talking to people directly. I was talking with a foster parent one time who said that she would just be happy for her kids that she had if they didn't have to share a toothbrush anymore. And it's stories like that that are really inspiring to me. And I know so many of the other Echo Every Child volunteers. That's why we keep doing it. That's why we do the initiatives we do and pour the money into it that we do, because it is a really big issue in our community and it affects a lot of community members.
So now you mentioned that these personal experiences that you've had are really what keep you going with it. And even after having it as your platform in that pageant that you decided to stay with it, it's that these interpersonal stories that you're seeing, it's really, is it like the heart you feel like of what Echo Every Child is doing?
Oh, easily. Every single person that I know is involved, that is the reason. That is why they keep going. They are the heart of every child, and hearing those personal stories has really inspired us. For example, I was talking to one of the caseworkers, and they said that when kids come in to be placed into foster care, they really come with nothing more than what's on their backs, and oftentimes they're handed a plastic garbage sack in which to carry their belongings. So it inspired me to partner with Every Child to create the Hope Totes initiative to replace those garbage sacks with duffel bags so that they have something tangible to hang on to. So stories like this are really how our initiatives originate and how we keep going in this community.
And kind of sharing the importance of treating children with dignity and how that can play into it. And do you feel like that changing that small aspect of, or it's not a small aspect, excuse me, it's not. It might seem like it on a larger scale of life, but that small aspect of changing a garbage bag for a duffel bag is really a big, it can be a big turning point. And do you see that as something that really changes the trajectory of how these children feel about themselves?
Oh, it 100% can. When I listen to success stories from foster care, there's usually a turning point like that, that someone stepped in and told them that they were valued, that they're supported, and that there's someone in the community that's looking out for them. So that's really what we at Every Child try to do for the upcoming foster care generations.
So when did Echo Every Child reach here in Roseburg?
We actually launched in November of 2019, right before the pandemic hit. We had a really big launch event. We really hit the ground running and are ready to continue making a difference with our community support.
How did you guys find that COVID held you back? I mean, like you said, you hit the ground running and then bam, COVID. What was that like for you?
I think it was difficult with kids not being in schools because since teachers and educators are mandatory reporters, we were not seeing the cases that we expected there were because they just weren't in contact with those mandatory reporters. So once kids got back into school, we saw those cases soar a little bit, but we still knew that we had a place that we had to step in, and we continued our initiatives because we knew there was still a need, whether it was as visible or not.
So we're joined today by Maren Gray, representing Echo Every Child on Your Q here from Premier Insurance. So if you're just joining us, it's a conversation right now that we're having about Echo Every Child, exactly what it does and how they reach out and help people. Now, as a fairly new addition to Roseburg and then going into COVID that immediately, did you find that you had to kind of pivot your plan of action as you were going to do it and then what you now have had to do over the last year?
I think definitely having to learn how to reach out via social media and online has been a learning curve for most of us, but I think we've branched out and found new ways to reach community, and we've extended to a broader variety of people, so I'm glad that it gave us the opportunity to do that as well.
Now, you mentioned the duffel bags being a big part of what you guys do. What are some other aspects of Echo Every Child as you work to help children in Douglas County?
Well, we know that foster parenting is a really big job, and not everyone can afford that, and not everyone has the time to do that either. So we have various opportunities for community volunteers to get involved. For example, we have welcome boxes. So like I said earlier, when kids come into foster care, they really don't have a lot that they can call their belongings. So we give them a welcome box, which is a shoebox filled with stuff like toothbrushes, toothpaste, things that they need like that, along with some encouraging notes, just to remind them that they are valued, and fun stuff like coloring books so they're not bored sitting in that placement room.
Now, you mentioned you have you work with partner agencies, and that when you're providing these services, it costs money. So I'm very curious, you know, how are you able to fund some of these things that you do for the children?
It's all grants and donations. So we're very, very grateful to our community partners that allow us to assist organizations like DHS, because the foster system is overwhelmed and we couldn't be stepping in and helping without the donations and the generosity of our community. Recently, we actually held a golf tournament fundraiser, and we had really great sponsorships this year that the community really stepped up for foster children. And that's always great to see.
Now, if somebody listening right now wanted to donate, how would they go about doing that process?
You can reach us on our social media, Every Child Douglas, on Facebook and Instagram. Our website handle is also everychilddouglas.org, so super easy. You don't have to remember much. Or you could reach out to us at 541-236-3174.
And with Echo Every Child, you said that volunteers are a big part of what you do. And
yes.
You can't do any of this stuff without volunteers. And the money. But when it comes to giving of the time, how might people reach out to you that might, I don't know, want to know more about how they can give if they don't have the money to give or want to give something other than money? What are some suggestions or ways that people can do that?
We have a lot of different programs, actually, for people that are maybe dipping their toes in or don't really want to spend a whole lot of money on a particular program. Again, you can look through our social media, especially our Instagram has pictures of the different programs that we do. But like I mentioned, Welcome Box. You can always make a welcome box, and those will be very, very welcome. We also sometimes do makeovers, so we enhance DHS and foster family facilities so they're not so boring when a child comes in, is scared, and is alone waiting to be placed into foster care. We also have various hospitality events, whether it's for foster children. We did foster parents' night out so that we basically babysat the foster children so that the foster parents could get a break, and various DHS worker care as well, because that is a difficult job in itself.
Yeah, that sounds like something. I mean, you don't think about it when you're thinking about somebody else fostering a child, but yeah, babysitting, all of these things that I wouldn't have considered, you bring up
exactly.
Really good points.
Yeah, a lot of the logistics get hard. So that's where Every Child steps in to assist with DHS logistics and all the minute details that you might not think about that happens in foster communities.
And there might even be minute ways that people could help that they didn't realize would be a way to support the community that it might not seem like a big thing to give or a big amount of time, but it's making a huge difference for somebody in the foster family community. So you're probably plugged in and involved with a lot of things that do happen with children in the community that come into foster care. What are some other ways that people can help or other things people can kind of look out for to support the community?
I think just getting in touch with us and offering your time, however you're willing to get involved. We use volunteer skill sets to put them where they would be most helpful and most benefited themselves. So if you're willing to give any of your time, you could even do respite care, which is basically a short-term foster care if you're not willing to devote all that time. So we will have a place for you if you're willing to volunteer. Just reach out and we will figure something out.
That sounds like a wonderful, wonderful way to do it. If you want to volunteer, we'll put you to work.
Now, yes.
Working with these kids, and you talked a little bit about your personal experiences, so I want to call back to that for just a moment, that you have these really interpersonal connections with the people that you're helping. What are some positive things that you've seen come out of your interactions, you know, staying in touch and seeing that growth happen and knowing you are part of it?
I was talking with a caseworker recently about the effect of Hope Totes on our community, and she said that the duffel bags have actually been serving as one of the first steps that a caseworker can do to connect with one of those children. They're giving the gift of a duffel bag, which might not mean much to the rest of us, but for someone who doesn't have much more than the clothes on their back, that's a really big deal. So I'm really, really excited and honored that the Hope Totes Project has allowed that connection between the caseworkers and the children. A lot of the foster care success stories come from having a connection with a trusted adult or a friend. So I'm happy that that's been facilitated.
So what does the future of Echo Every Child look like for Douglas County?
We're still expanding. We're getting our roots in our community, finding partners like Mercy and Aviva Health, and we've had the golf tournament bring in a lot of sponsors. So we're just hoping to expand our connections and do whatever we can to help kids in Douglas County.
Community partners, I'm sure, are a big part of what you do. If there are any business owners who might be happen to be listening now that think maybe, you know, their business isn't something that might help children directly, but there is something that they could do with their business, what are some ways that they could help or even connect with you for their business to be part of the solution, we'll call it?
Really, anything helps. I think we all saw with our golf tournament that even the businesses that just donated a little bit of their time or gift cards for the raffle prizes really helped. I mean, you wouldn't really think that a golf course would be that pertinent to foster care, but if you have a golf course tournament, then that works perfectly. So even though you might not think that your business has a role in this, we will definitely be able to find a role if you're willing to help us.
And how do you feel this program has changed you as a person as you've kind of grown with the program over the last few years?
I think it's made me a lot more empathetic. Working with the foster community has really opened my eyes to the struggles that a lot of my peers are going through. And oftentimes you would never know walking through the halls at Roseburg High School. But seeing the other side of it and being able to do my part to find a solution and to help the overflowing foster care system has given me a lot more empathy for others.
And the empathy is something everybody can benefit from having a little more of, I think.
Yes, especially in these days.
So, Maren, we have about a minute and a half left. Is there anything left that you would like to leave us on or that we haven't touched on yet that you'd like to talk about?
I'd just like to reiterate that no matter who you are and no matter what you have to give, there is a place for you at Every Child. And if you're willing to volunteer, please contact us. Again, our social media and our website is Every Child Douglas. The website is everychilddouglas.org. So we will find a place for you, and we're flexible around your schedule, your time, and your money commitments.
Yeah, and always accepting monetary donations, I bet.
Yes.
That again, makes it easy.
On our website, everychilddouglas.org.
And that is what helps keep you guys doing that great work that you're doing in Douglas County, helping children who might otherwise not have that voice or might not have that feeling of, like you said, that somebody cares about them in the community. So, Maren, thank you so much for joining us today from Echo Every Child, and thanks for everything that you do for the foster children here in Douglas County.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a break here on Your Q, brought to you by Premier Insurance, and we'll be back shortly, and we'll speak with another member of the community that's doing great things. It's Your Q on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Welcome back to Your Q, brought to you by Premier Insurance. We're talking about great things happening in the community in Douglas County and beyond. And we just finished speaking with Maren Gray, who is representing Echo Every Child. And now we have the pleasure of speaking with Carlos. Hi, Carlos from Umpqua Survival. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Excellent.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for taking the time out of your Thursday to join us. So on Your Q, we talk about things that are just, you know, beneficial for the community. And we know we've seen your name in a lot of stuff about that because you guys always are wanting to help out and do things for different people in the community. And so I'd love to talk more about it. What are some of the things that you guys, you know, do to help people in the community from Umpqua Survival?
Well, we try and do a lot of different things. One thing that we do is every month we do a giveaway. We give away a different firearm every month, and all the profit from those giveaways gets donated to a different organization in the area.
Now, Carlos, I'm so sorry. I have to rewind because I'm familiar with Umpqua Survival. Doesn't mean that everybody is. So I should probably back up a little and say and ask you exactly what is Umpqua Survival in the community.
Okay. Well, basically, we're a pretty unusual little store. We're about half gun store and half, equipment, camping, backpacking, survival stuff, first aid. We do training here, concealed carry classes and whatnot, and have firearm accessories and everything that would go along with that.
Now, you mentioned classes. Like, what kind of classes are we talking about?
Well, we do concealed carry classes, we do self-defense and situational awareness classes, reloading, we have an AR build workshop where you can learn how to build an AR, And then we're always looking to add new classes. We've tried some different things out, and we're trying to expand on that all the time.
So all of these things, though, are good skills for people to have, even if it's not, you know, something that you're trying to do to gain a skill for work or something like that. It's just good skills for humans to have as you're walking down the street.
Yeah. Well, and we're not, you know, we're not a traditional gun store where we're just pushing guns on everybody. We're trying to prepare people for everyday occurrences. Every year we have people that get lost in the woods on a mountain drive, or their car breaks down, or in the recent history we've had, you know, the huge snowstorms and wildfires, and we try and have everyday things that you would keep with you to be prepared for those situations a little bit better.
So really, when we talk about your Q being focused on positive things in the community and helpful things in the community, just being Umpqua Survival and offering those classes seems like that's right there, offering that information for people to have access to and ways that people can learn to protect themselves and be better is almost right there, offering a great community service.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
So while we're talking about that, though, because so now we can fast forward back to how you said that you do these giveaways, and the money that's generated from them goes to different charities or different people who are needing help in the community. So how do those work?
Well, like I said, every month we give away a firearm, and the money goes to a different organization. I'm always on the lookout for new organizations. Some of them that we've helped in the past are, you know, we've done stuff for Saving Grace, the Glide Revitalization team out there, Oregon Youth Shooting Sports. That's just to name a few that we've done, that we've helped out.
Well, how do you decide who's going to get the funds from the basket that month?
Really, I'm always looking for people to put in and request it, or I reach out to peers and friends and ask them if they know of any organizations. If anyone's interested, they can always email me, carlos@umpquasurvival.com, or stop by with a request letter, or just give the store a call.
So this is, as a store owner, a lot of people who own businesses, I've heard them talk about, you know, not wanting to give things away and the bottom dollar and the bottom line. And it really sounds like as a business owner, your philosophy is different. Can you kind of explain that a bit?
Well, so we're not just a regular gun store. I mean, we're trying to make money, and we need to keep the doors open and that stuff. But the giveaways that we do every month, you know, that's our way of helping the community out without it really costing us a lot of money. We're just putting the effort into selling raffle tickets, and then, you know, donating the money out back into the community. And really, it's worked out well for us because the community loves it, and we get a lot of people that come in that or normally wouldn't even step into our store, but they come in just to support other organizations and be a part of making the community a little bit better.
So anybody who's just joining us right now, we are speaking with Carlos Ortegon from the Umpqua Survival store about how Umpqua Survival not only offers really cool things and is totally different from other gun shops that you might have been to, but how they plug back into the community and keep the love kind of going in this awesome big circle. So you were talking about the raffles and the donations and how you would like people to maybe get that information to you of their needs. Are there other ways that people can kind of follow you and contact you or get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah, we have a social media presence as well. I mean, we're on Facebook and Instagram. People can always message me on either one of those platforms as well. Or you know, I encourage people to just stop by the store or check it out. And if people have, you know, a need, if you're having an event or looking to do a fundraiser, I'm always happy to spend a little bit of time with people to help them you know, brainstorm on how they can do that and how we can help them do that. A lot of times people will be holding an event and they want to, say, raffle off a firearm or do an auction of a firearm, and they don't want to have to, you know, transfer that to one person then transfer it to another person. So myself or one of my team will come out and we'll go to the event and we'll represent the store, and we'll have the firearm on display and kind of tell people a little bit about it, maybe help them with their sale of raffle tickets or whatever, just to make it a smooth transition for everything and you know, it helps us out by getting us out there in the community, and it helps the organizations out by, you know, us taking that portion of it off their back, off their shoulders.
So, Carlos, when did you find that you wanted to do this, that you wanted to have these fundraising efforts and wanted to help the community? When did that kind of charitable part of you really start to come out in life?
I don't know. Prior to coming to Umpqua Survival, I worked with Lowe's, and when I was there, I took care of a lot of their charitable donations and their volunteer projects and whatnot. And I saw how much it impacted folks when I was there. And so when I came to Umpqua Survival, I, you know, spoke with the owners and I said, hey, this is something I think we should do. And they were very happy with the idea. And so we've just been running with it, and it's worked out well for the community. And I think it's brought a lot of loyal customers to us, just because they see that we're not, you know, trying to be greedy about anything.
What are some of those positive differences that you've seen come from those different donations or different, what are some of the, you know, the funds used for? What are some of those great things that you've seen happen from this charity?
Well, so some of the organizations we work with on an annual basis, like we do a event with them every year. Ride for 22, we just did an event last month and helped them raise a bunch of money. And they help out with raising awareness and helping the families affected by veteran suicide. We try and be a part of Rudolph Run every year. And that one's a fun one for our staff because we raise the money selling raffle tickets to give away a gun. And then when we give it away, we get to spend all that money buying a bunch of toys and stuff. And then you know, donate them to be given away to kids. We used to raise money for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Hunters Education, but now we've actually become certified instructors, so we're actually putting on hunters education courses. And then we also, you know, take part in doing our part for the firearms industry as far as, you know, Ducks Unlimited and the NRA banquets and those things. We always do our part to help those out as well.
And that's a really great way to help the community, like you said, with making sure that you're getting that money back where it goes and back in a local level. And it's been a really interesting path to see that you not only brought that idea of giving to the business, but how it's thriving and growing too. So some of those things that you were talking about were really interesting. And moving forward, how do you see your relationship with them continuing as you continue to do fundraising efforts?
Honestly, I just look forward to helping new organizations out. I mean, we do partner with some of the same ones over and over again, just because we feel very strongly about it. The owners are prior service veterans, and so we like veteran organizations. We're always looking to help out, you know, organizations that do things for our local youth and you know, basically anyone with a need, we like to help out. It's not just, you know, there's always new organizations popping up and people that are trying to help out the community that a lot of times they're not, you know, it's new to them, so they don't know how to go about it. And I like to be able to help them out as well, because I like to see everybody succeed on stuff. So
what about people that might be listening right now that want to help you help people, that want to maybe connect or join with you and join with Umpqua Survival, partner either with maybe an event, or maybe it's just somebody that has a lot of time and experience in some of these areas and they're kind of being called to want to help? How would they go about getting in touch with you?
They can call me at the store, 541-673-6666, or email me, carlos@umpquasurvival.com, or just stop by the store, and I'm here Monday through Friday on most weeks. So.
And what are some areas that would be most valuable to you to have people volunteer for?
I don't do a lot of volunteer stuff, but I could always put them in contact with some organizations that are looking for volunteers.
That's right.
For us, we pretty much just you know, help raise money.
Certainly, which is a huge important part of getting everything done when it's when you're trying to find help for people that might not get it otherwise. So what you do is amazing, and I love seeing it grow. And you did say that people can get a hold of you if they have requests. And again, what are some ways that people who might, I mean, I'm assuming that one great way to support everything you do is just to shop at Umpqua Survival.
Oh, absolutely. And come in and buy raffle tickets for the different giveaways. Because, I mean, that's helping us out and it's helping the community out. It's hard to come into our shop and not find something that you're going to be interested in. We have a huge array of just everything you can think of. It's an excellent place for little random gifts. And, you know, we're becoming super popular at Christmas time for stocking stuffers. And, you know, it's just a cool shop. You're always going to see something new every time you come in.
You know, and I almost hate to say that when you mentioned Christmas, it made me realize it's a little closer than I think I thought it was. So yeah, thinking about things like Rudolph Run and how he's having you guys as a great partner there, but also getting the stocking stuffers out of the way makes Umpqua Survival an excellent stop. Carlos, any last thoughts that you'd like to leave us with before we go today?
Not really. I mean, I look forward to hearing from anyone that's interested in helping out, or look forward to seeing some new customers. This month's raffle is we're actually giving away a Savage Axis 6.5 Creedmoor rifle with scope, and all the proceeds are going to the South Umpqua Rod and Gun Club. So.
And when somebody wants to stop by, what are your hours?
We're open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to 6:30, Saturday is 9 to 6, and Sunday is 9 to 4.
Thank you so much, Carlos, for joining us from Umpqua Survival, where you guys do great work raising money for all sorts of different great causes around the area. And just a big thank you for everything you guys do.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure. And we'll be back in a moment. We're going to take a break on Your Cue on News Radio 1240 KQEN from Premier Insurance. And when we come back, we'll be speaking with Virgil Osborne about from Champaign Creek about more things happening in the area that are going to make you smile. It is Your Cue on News Radio 1240 KQEN. And it is back with Your Cue here on News Radio 1240 KQEN. I'm Ashley Claiborne from News Radio 1240 KQEN in for your lovable host who is not feeling well today. So I've stepped in and I'm getting the pleasure of speaking with some wonderful people doing big things in the community, whether it's volunteering of time or money or raising money. And now we get to turn our focus to Virgil Osborne at Champaign Creek. Hi, Virgil. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ashley. How are you?
Great. Thank you. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. So, I mean, when you hear the words Champaign Creek, I honestly first think about a cocktail, but I'm sure it means something else.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so Champaign Creek Ranch is our nonprofit. We call it Champaign Creek, and the reason for the name is the origins of Champaign Creek are close by. The Champaign Creek kind of runs through a section of our ranch as it begins, and so we felt like it was a fitting name. And we are a nonprofit, and that is our official nonprofit name, Champaign Creek Ranch.
It's lovely. So you said that you're a ranch, and what, as a nonprofit, what do you do at the ranch?
So we are a charitable nonprofit, so we do fundraisers for other charities, and you know, right now we have our biggest one is Greater Douglas United Way. We have a partnership agreement with them. So what we do is we put on events and we raise funds through the events to give to we have a fund established with Greater Douglas United Way, and allows them to do things with it for, you know, could be somebody who's physically challenged and they want to get outdoors and see the outdoors, but they can't get there themselves. They can actually use funds that we give them to do that type of thing for those folks. So that's kind of what we do.
Yeah, that sounds like a really big, a big part of somebody's life that might not seem as big to maybe, like you said, somebody who isn't going through what they're going through, but something like that can be a really big life-changing event. So that's an amazing thing to do. Now, you said the ranch is where is it located, and about how big is it?
So the ranch is located in Looking Glass, and it is it's on the old transfer site, which used to be the landfill transfer site. So about the ranch is roughly 204 acres, and a portion of that, which is about 2 acres at the very top of the ranch, used to be the old landfill and Looking Glass. Back when I was a kid, my dad and I used to go there. The county pretty much abandoned that, and they filled that landfill in. I think it's got about 30 feet of dirt on top of it. And they moved down the hill to it and built a transfer site where they didn't actually dump garbage, but they shuttled garbage and bins. Well, over the years, that site was closed, and again, it's been closed for several years, probably 30-ish. I don't remember the exact dates, but the county really hasn't had any funds or spent any time in there to do anything to do anything with the property. So it's been sitting vacant for all those years, kind of off the tax rolls and just unmaintained. So it's an area where myself and a couple of my friends, we looked at it and we thought, you know, we could probably do something for the community here that would be beneficial to so many people. And we approached the county with that in mind, and the county got behind us, and eventually the land was granted to us, and that's kind of where we are today. And we do some great things out there for so many people.
Yes, it sounds amazing, and I want to know a little bit more about that conversation. So when you and your friends were sitting around, how did you get on the topic of wanting to get acquire this land and then ways to help people? How did that conversation go?
Yeah, interesting. You know, it was something I do a lot of community service work myself. I'm one of the coordinators for the Douglas County Sheriff's Department Search and Rescue. And one of the first things that we wanted to do was help Search and Rescue have a place to train. And here's 204 acres of forest land that's not being used for anything. And that's the type of environment that we work in regularly when we're called out on rescue missions and search missions. So that was our first intention, was let's turn this into something somewhat of a training ground for navigation training and steep angle rescue, dog training, that type of thing. And we did that. And that was our initial plan. And that was kind of it just was a great success. And Search and Rescue uses it all the time.
And then so how did you go from there to building a relationship with Greater Douglas United Way?
So we wanted to be we formed our organization to benefit people that need an opportunity to get outdoors and, you know, be trained. So we do survival training there as well. You know, people that maybe go on hikes and that type of thing. We would help teach them how to come home safely. We kind of started putting our heads together and we thought, you know, we need to do something even more for the community. Let's form this partnership with United Way and allow United Way to be able to help people that use United Way. United Way is a charitable, charitable organization that helps people that just don't have the ability to maybe get out into the forest or that type of thing. We have the forest. We have 200 acres of forest. And we thought, you know, let's partner with them. And we'll create an account that will allow them to bring people to us, and we can help them out. That's where it all kind of started. And we had a couple of events last year that just turned out amazing. We had 43 businesses that got on board with us and sponsored our events. And we were able to donate a $4,000 check to United Way in our first year. We hope to do even more than that over the next several years and bring people to the ranch.
Do you have other ideas or other events that are going to be kind of springing to life in the next year or two?
Well, we do. One of the other things we did for usage on the ranch was we partnered up with a bicycle mountain bike club called, they call themselves Lumberland of the Umpqua Bike Riders. So we went to them and we said, you know, we realize there's no place in Douglas County for you guys to have your own trail system. And we said, if you guys are interested, you know, no charge to you, if you guys are interested to come onto our ranch and build yourself a trail system, you guys are welcome to go in there and do what you can to build a world-class system. And they have done that. So that they'll also do some of their own racing in there. I think they have an event coming up. I'm not sure what the date is yet, but that they're going to do a bicycle race and incredible trails that they've built. We just love what they've done.
Well, and that sounds like a really great way to partner with the community, but that also sounds like it's a way to possibly take on quite a bit of liability. How do you work around that when you've got people on your land doing things like bike riding or bike racing? That sounds kind of dangerous.
Yeah. So part of this property, part of our concern with this property is we are in surrounded by, you know, neighbors. And so we didn't want to just give access to the public at will because there's just too much liability in that. So to be able to come on the property, you have to sign a waiver, and you have to be vetted by the particular entity that you're coming in with. So if you're coming in to ride with the bicycle club, then there are folks with the bicycle club that vet you. You have to sign the liability waivers, and then you're allowed, you know, it comes with it's a 4-page waiver, so it's pretty extensive, that basically says, you know, you're not going to do something stupid or bother the neighbors or trespass on another property, that type of thing. That's our first line of defense, of course. And then, of course, any of our events, we have safety measures in place, all the way from the fire department safety through ambulances. I mean, all of that type of thing.
And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Virgil Osborne from Champaign Creek about some of the ways that they get back with the community and partner with Douglas County United Way to help people who might not otherwise be able to experience our beautiful forests in this area get to do that, and also raise money in other ways and allow that access to your land for some of those bigger events and people, like you said, who don't have a home otherwise, those trail riders that need a space to be. So it's a neat thing that you're doing with that land, but what are some of your future plans? Do you have any ideas of other ways you want to use that space?
Yeah, we've talked about some other events. Again, you know, we have our events that we do. We do a side-by-side poker run in early January, and then we do a 4-wheel drive challenge event that we do in March. And the challenge event, we'll continue to do both of those events. The challenge event is part navigation, part you got to be a lumberjack in some ways. It's part driving skills, that type of thing. And we do on the property now, search and rescue has helped us with this, but we have GPS finds all over the property, map and compass finds that we've established to help with navigation training and that type of thing. So we're going to continue those events. I imagine the bicycle folks are probably going to continue with their event. There's also a club, a local club, that's actually a running club. They jog in the woods cross country, so to speak. They're going to be doing some more stuff. They've already done one event this year. We're looking at down the road doing some other things that'll help the community, possibly even a lumberjack type event, maybe something along the lines of, you know, a Saturday where you know, climb, bring people in, they'll do chainsaw cutting and that type of thing. So we have plans for the future for the property, just to continue on with what we're doing.
We're going to take a quick break on Your Cue, and we'll come back and speak more with Virgil Osborne from Champaign Creek. So stay with us on Your Cue on News Radio 1240 KQEN, brought to you by Premier Insurance. Your Cue, brought to you by Premier Insurance. I'm Ashley Claiborne with News Radio 1240 KQEN, and we're rejoining with Virgil Osborne from Champaign Creek, where we've been talking about what Champaign Creek does and how you guys use the space and land out there to really help people. And it sounds like it's been a really fulfilling project. What's been your favorite part so far?
Well, I got to say, Ashley, that my favorite part has been the volunteer work that people have put in. When we got this property, it was after the 2019 snowstorm, and the property was just a complete mess. It needed all kinds of maintenance in it, you know, and we kind of put out the feelers to our local four-wheel drive clubs and our bicycle clubs and just in general to the community, and we had an amazing turnout of people that came out and helped us to make the property usable, clean it up, and it's just been, and they've all stayed with us. I mean, it's amazing. The businesses that have got behind us have all stayed with us, and I mean, the list is huge, and I'm just really thrilled about that.
So from search and rescue to Champaign Creek, and then a partnership with Greater Douglas United Way, what's on the future for you? What's happening moving forward?
Well, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. There's a few other things we do. Looking Glass Fire uses the property for training. So the fire department uses, and they're getting ready to do some wildfire training this fall. They'll do some burns, controlled burns that they're going to do up there. I also teach a lot of classes up there. So I actually do a recovery classes for our local deputies from the Sheriff's Department, teach them how to do off-road recoveries. We are now a certified ATV training group for the Oregon Parks and Rec youth program. So, you know, if you ride a four-wheeler or a motorcycle and you're a kid, you have to have a special license. Well, you can go up there. We can teach you how to do that and actually issue your license from the classes that we teach. We'll keep doing that type of thing. There's just so much to talk about. You almost can't do it in 15 or 20 minutes. I mean, we've done everything from worked with the police so they can do training, dog training up there. to just all kinds of cool stuff. And we're going to keep doing that.
Well, it sounds like you are a really busy person, but I imagine that when you're a creative and volunteering type person, that you've got other things that you personally want to do. What's upcoming for you?
So upcoming for me, I'm sure most people know I'm running for the state representative position, the House of Representatives, District 2. So that's keeping me pretty busy in my campaign. Of course, we don't really mix that with any of what's going on at Champaign Creek. But, you know, I have to say, I have to thank some people for making Champaign Creek happen. And I have to go back to our commissioners. Our commissioners got behind us when we asked them to do this for the community. And our promise to our commissioners was we would do something that they would be proud of. And all of the commissioners signed off on this, including the late Gary Leaf. He was a commissioner at the time. And that's whose position I'm running for in the State House of Representatives, amongst many other things.
So almost that connection there, though, still with your volunteering and with Champaign Creek, and that connection is still part of what you're doing now with moving up and running for the seat that you're running for.
Absolutely. And I'll keep doing that. Champaign Creek is near and dear to my heart. I live a half a mile away from it. Our board consists of five local business people, and we are all dedicated to doing what's right by the community. So I'm proud to be part of it. It's been an awesome ride, and we look forward to the future. And we have plans down the road for the property as well. We'll continue on, and we have we'll bring more people into the board. So that what we do now, you know, hopefully 25, 30 years down the road, it'll still be happening long after we're gone. So.
Well, and we are about out of time for now, but if people want to know more or get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
So I'm pretty transparent. You can get my cell phone off of just about anywhere on the internet, and that's on purpose. But if you really want to get a hold of Champaign Creek, if you go on our Facebook site, that's the best way to get a hold of us, Champaign Creek Ranch.
Champaign Creek Ranch on Facebook. Thank you so much, Virgil, for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon. And that's been Your Cue, brought to you by Premier Insurance on News Radio 1240 KQEN.